Morning, everyone. What a joy to sing about the great faithfulness of our God together as a family in Christ. What a great joy it is to hear the Word of God. I have the privilege of preaching and teaching the Word of God. God is so good, amen? He's so good that He cares for each one of us. Each one of us, whatever situations we may find ourselves in, whatever circumstances that you may be going through in life, praise God that He is good, and though He is the creator of the universe, though He is infinite, He looks on us, His creation, with such love and with such care. We've been seeing at the beginning of the church being built in the book of Acts, we've seen how the Holy Spirit has been moving within the body of Christ. We've seen how God has sovereignly been unfolding His plan for the salvation of the world, for the gospel of Jesus to go from Judea to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And we see that unfolding now through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the followers, the faithful followers of Jesus Christ. And more people are coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, when the gospel is preached, when the word of God is spoken, all of us have a decision to make. When we hear the truth of God, when we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can either choose to believe with all your heart, or choose to reject the truth of God, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no in-between. You either know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you do not. You either know who He is in your heart, in your life, or you do not. And today we're going to talk about a man named Simon, sometimes referred to as Simon Magus, who has an interaction with this gospel of Jesus Christ. And through his response, through seeing how he reacts to the gospel of Jesus, I hope that we can take some lessons or some challenges, but also encouragements about our own life, our own response to the gospel of Jesus. Acts chapter 8, verse 9 to 25 is where we're going to look at together today. And we're going to talk about knowing God's power. We're going to see that knowing God's power is not just a simple acknowledgement that He is God and that He is powerful. It is actually an understanding of who He is in our lives in relationship with us. So let's look at this word together. Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 25. This is the word of God. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with this magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on any of them. But they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Verse 18. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. for I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And Simon answered, pray for me to the Lord, that nothing of what you have said may come upon me. Now when they had testified and spoke to the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you that you are a God of power, that you are the God of truth. You are the only one who has the power to save, the only one who has the power to change a heart, the only one with the love and grace to meet us where we are at. So God, as we look at your word together today, would you speak to us in your Holy Spirit power? Would you remind us what it means to follow you, to believe in you? And I pray, God, with all my heart, that every single person in this sanctuary, every person who's listening online, that they would know who you are in their hearts. That none of this would just be for the sake of outward action, tradition, something that we grew up doing and so we continue to do it. May there be internally change happening because you are God who is powerful and mighty to save, that you are working in our hearts. And for those of us who are saved, I pray that we would be growing in our faith. We love you, Lord. Be with us as we go into your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, when you hear the word magic, what comes to mind? Maybe if you were really cool growing up like me, you think about Magic the Gathering. Who here has heard about that card game before? I'm looking at some of the youngsters over here, okay? Right? Maybe you think about Magic the Gathering, which is a strategy card game, and they still have big tournaments. It's still a big thing, and I used to have this awesome red and green deck, if those of you who know what that is. But for the majority of people, when we think about magic, we think about magicians. We think about magic shows. You know, magic has always garnered the attention of people. Rabbits appearing out of hats, death-defying feats, different tricks point to some type of power that the magician holds, something mysterious that we want to figure out, how did they do that? Whether it's the idea of the impossible being done, some type of mystery, people are drawn to magic. They're amazed by magic. And we can still see magicians doing amazing things, right? Like street magicians. That's kind of a new wave that happened where people are doing amazing tricks on the streets and people are being wowed. And, you know, they have now like millions of followers on TikTok and all these different social media sites and apps. People gravitate towards the amazing. They want to know what is of this power. Now, if you guys don't know, I dabble in a little bit of magic myself. Unfortunately, it's the type of magic that only, you know, caters to a certain demographic. Once they hit second or third grade, the magic seems to just disappear for some reason. I can pull my, you know, thumb off, right? You know, you guys, I've showed you guys that before. I can pull my thumb off and put it back. There's all kinds of things that I can do. Make things go up my nose and, you know, come out of my ear. And to see the kids' faces when they see that, just these magic tricks, right? It's not a real power, but even in that, when you see young children looking and being amazed, it kind of speaks to that kind of human curiosity of something that seems so impossible. How is it that this can happen? Well, this Simon, it said that he practiced magic, that he was a magician of sorts, and he must have had amazing power because it wasn't just children that he was amazing. It was literally probably hundreds of people that would see the different magic that he would perform and show, and they were so amazed by it that they would even call him great and the power of God. And it made it clear that Simon enjoyed this praise. He enjoyed this attention. He wanted to make his name great in the world, so he continued to perform his magic. He was doing a great job of it amongst the Samaritan villages. But what I want for us to see together today is that as amazing as his power or his magic might have been, there's only one power, only one person who possesses that power, the true power that can give salvation, that can bring healing, to make a blind man see, to make the lame walk, to make the sinner forgiven and free. And that we know to be Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so as we think about Christ, we must know God's power, because again, he has alone, through Christ, the power to save us from our sin, to give us eternal life. And in him must we place our faith. So knowing God's power, how will you respond? I pray that you'll respond in faith, in a saving relationship through Jesus Christ. So there's three things I want to talk about together today as we need to know God's power. First is that we must guard our hearts. We must guard our hearts. Secondly, we must not lose focus. We mustn't lose focus. Third thing is this, that we must repent. We must repent. So we must guard our hearts. Verse 9 through 11, this is what the Word of God says. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest. I mean, so it's like saying everyone, youngest to oldest, everyone paid attention to him, saying this man is the power of God that is called great. And again it says, and they paid attention to him, because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. So we have to take a look at what's exactly going on here. So there's this man named Simon. He has the full attention of the people of Samaria. Now, we don't know whether he was just performing amazing magic tricks, illusion, or indeed if he was practicing magic that had dark powers associated with it, spiritual dark powers. So we don't know clearly if it was just deception through illusion, or truly if he had some kind of connection with darker forces with the magic that he did. But regardless of what it was so amazing that, again, it says they paid attention to him. And then it says again, they paid attention to him. They said, this man is the power of God that is called great, this Simon Agus. It says that he had amazed them with this magic. They believed him to have a power much greater than their own. So surely it was the power from God. But we know that whatever his power was, it was not the power of God. In fact, we see that in his heart, as he's performing these miraculous magical powers, he is drawing attention clearly to himself. You see, he was making his name great, his own name great. He was building up his reputation in Samaria. And we know that for the apostles, when they are doing things in God's power through the Holy Spirit, their purpose is never to glorify themselves and to say, hey, look, we are the power of God. No, it is to say God is the one true God, and he is the one with the power. No, his power. It's not ours. It's the God that we worship and serve. So there's this difference between self-glorification of Simon Magus and God-glorifying purpose in the power that comes through the apostles and the followers of Jesus Christ. And so we must guard our hearts. How does that come into play? As Christians, we must guard our hearts. And there are two aspects of guarding our hearts that I want us to highlight. First is guarding our hearts against this type of self-glorification. That in any kind of power or ability or whatever we might have in our lives that we think we can amaze people with, or we have something to offer that people would be enamored with, we must guard our hearts against that kind of self-glorification. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So guard your hearts from things that so easily come into our minds, into our lives, that become about glorifying ourselves. Even in the things that you're great at, I'm not trying to take away from those things. I affirm that God has gifted many of us in different ways. But what are we using those things for? To show our power, to show who we are, or ultimately to serve Christ and to make him known in our lives? Let me give us some examples. We want to be known as the smartest student in school so that others may be amazed by our intellect. We may want to be the most fit person in the room so that people will be in awe of our biceps and our chest, you know, circumference. You know, people measure that, right, to show how big they truly are. We want to be the most athletic people in the gym so that people can be amazed by our insane quickness and vertical leap. And, you know, I watch a lot of football. I'm telling you, when I watch football on some Sunday, I'm like, are these human beings? Because they are fast. They are strong. I mean, they're so athletic. And so, yes, we are oftentimes amazed by these things. And we're almost taught to promote the things that make people amazed about us. And yet, as Christians, we don't bring worship to ourselves. No, guard your heart against that kind of self-glorification. It's so tricky. We must glorify God. So guard your heart against anything that may make you stray. I'm not saying stop doing those things. If you're a great athlete, be an athlete for God. Let Him be your purpose. His glory be your purpose. If you're a smart student, if you're great intellect, use your mind for God. May your purpose be to glorify Him and not to show people how big your brain is. You see what I'm saying? Guard your hearts. Guard your hearts above all else, for everything you do flows from it. All that we do, we want to worship God. So we must guard our hearts against the things that take us away from that. Another aspect in which we need to guard our hearts is that, you know, again, we have to reflect on what amazes. You know, I shared about it a little bit. What amazes you? What puts you in awe? What makes you go, ooh, and ah, when you see it? Like, oh my goodness, that was amazing. The world tries to convince us that you should be in awe of the fancy sports cars, the huge house, mansion. The world has tried to convince us that we should be simply amazed by slam dunks and touchdowns and the size of your bank account, the physical beauty that you hold. And nowadays, with the younger generation, with how many likes you get, can you post something that goes viral? You know, those are the things that we're taught. Ooh, oh my goodness, how many views did that video get? You see, in every generation, there are things that come our way that try to take our eyes away from Christ. The oohs and ahs of this world, when the thing that we should most be in awe of, God, who did an amazing work by sending His own Son, Jesus Christ, when's the last time that you oohed and ahed at the gospel of Jesus? When's the last time that you just read even John 3:16 and it wasn't like, oh yeah, I've heard that before, but it was like, oh my goodness. I'm amazed at the love of our God. I'm in awe of Jesus Christ, His only Son, who gave His life upon the cross for me. I'm amazed at the power of the resurrection, that He's not dead, but He's the King of the world, and I get to serve Him. I get to live in His kingdom, for His kingdom. Let me ask you, when the last time you were in awe of that? God reminds us, we must guard our hearts. How quickly we stray. And that leads into our second point here. We must not lose focus. We must not lose focus. Verses 12 through 19. But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for He had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, though the people of Samaria, they've been under the influence of Simon Magus and his magic and all of that for a long time, now they hear the message of Philip as he evangelizes, as he preaches the word of God, the power of God, Christ crucified and resurrected, as he's healing people in the name of Jesus Christ. People are believing in this message of the gospel. Jesus offering the power of his salvation. Simply, all you have to do is turn to him in faith. And so many are believing. Now, there is some differing of opinion here, what I'm about to speak on. But here it says, in Simon Magus's description, it says, even Simon himself believed. Okay? Now, some people want to, you know, there's kind of an argument, like, did he actually believe in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? Because later we're going to see that, you know, there's words that are spoken to him that kind of make it seem like he didn't really believe. So I believe that if we look in the context of the passage, Simon Magus never truly accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, but what he wanted was the power of God. He knew the power, but he didn't know the one who holds the power. That's what we're going to talk a little bit about here. We must not lose focus. Look at what it says. Verse 18 again. Now when Simon saw the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hand, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter and John come down to Samaria because there's all these people who are believing in the name of Jesus, who are coming into relationship with Jesus and Savior. So there's all this power, and so they pray for the believers, and then they receive the Holy Spirit. So Simon sees that. But we mustn't lose focus. That's the point, right? Point number two. What am I talking about here? Simon's focus is off. Okay, that's what it is. Simon's focus is off. You see, his focus is not on the person of Jesus Christ. His focus is on the power that he sees. You see, he's kind of maybe comparing the power that he has. Maybe he had great spiritual power connection with dark forces, whatever it may be. And so he sees this other power and people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And he's thinking to himself, oh man, I got to get in on some of this power. And so he offers money, saying, hey, if I give you some money, will you give me this power so that I can show people that I have this power too? And this is not a strange thing for magicians. You know, magicians often buy magic tricks. They share knowledge from one another. So he offers the apostles money to have this power that he sees. See, Simon heard the same gospel message of Jesus Christ, but his focus was off. He was missing the main thing. He had heard the good news of Jesus Christ, but what he believed in, Jesus Christ himself, but what he wanted was the power that he witnessed. And again, there are some theologians who will argue that Simon truly did believe and that he fell away. But I believe if you are a genuine believer of Jesus Christ, you have given your life to him as Lord and Savior, then once and for all, you are saved. There's nothing that can take you out of the hands of our loving God. If anything, what this shows to me is that just because you have been going to church or know the power of God, the knowledge of God, and maybe even been baptized, that those are not the things that secure your salvation. It's if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you know his power because you know who he is, focus, keep your focus on Christ. You know, when Caleb was 6 months old, I can't believe he's going to be turning five. Wow, this year. That's insane to me. But when Caleb, I have a love for animals, and I've shared about that in different sermons or in our talking before. I love animals so much, and I used to collect these cards that would give information about different kinds of animals, and I'd wait monthly for like another pack. This was like pre-internet, guys, okay? So it's a different story, right? Now you can just Google all the different animals you want, but you know, we had to wait on these cards and collectibles. But anyway, that same love for animals and God's creation, I wanted to be able to share that with my son. So when he was kind of, I felt like old enough to go to the zoo and see animals and be amazed by them, I took him to the zoo. I was all ready to see Caleb's face as he saw these majestic creatures with these long necks. Yes, it was the giraffe exhibit. And I remember standing there with him. I was just so ready. I was like, honey, get the camera ready. You know, it's going to be awesome. He's going to see this giraffe. And we're going to have this recorded in our memories of how amazed and in awe of this amazing animal he is. Well, I was in for a lot of shock and disappointment because as I was there holding Caleb, I remember this one giraffe actually came very close to us so that he was kind of almost like right in front of it. It was this prime opportunity for him to see the giraffe in all of its just amazing glory, if you will, right? The glory of God's creation. So I kept trying to get him to look up. The giraffe was right there. Well, he just kept on looking down. I think there's a picture of him just looking down, okay, as I'm holding him. And so you got to wonder, what was it that was so amazing to Caleb, six-month-old Caleb, that he's choosing not to see this giraffe that's right here and he's looking down instead? You want to know how disappointed I was? He was literally looking at the blades of grass that were on the ground. Here was this majestic giraffe, an awesome part of God's creation. I'm not saying that grass is not a great part of God's creation, okay? We need grass, right? But we can see that in our backyard. We can see that when we're walking on the sidewalk. But look, Caleb, here is a giraffe. How could you focus on grass when this magnificent beast is right before us? You see, his focus was off. I know it's not a perfect analogy, but his focus was on the wrong thing. And how often as people do we have that kind of same lacking or wrong direction of our focus, where the glory of God, the person of Jesus Christ, is right there, but we're so busy focusing on what he can give to us. We're so focused on what's down here and what I can get here that we fail to look up and see Christ. We fail to see the gospel of Jesus, who he is, the promises that he gives, and to be amazed by his power, his love. How often are we so amazed by the things down here when Christ is saying, look upon me. See who I am. Place your faith in me and be saved. Don't miss the main thing. Don't lose your focus. Don't make Christianity about anything other than knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't make Christianity anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, the salvation that comes by grace through him, through the power of our God. Amen? Stop making Christianity about something that you can use to better yourself or to get more for yourself. No. Christianity is relationship. It's focus on the right thing. It's on Christ, who is our Savior. The love, the grace of God, our relationship with him. You see, Simon Magus, he had been baptized, but he was not saved. He did not believe in the person of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see a little bit more of that in the words that Peter says to him. Last point is this: we must repent. We must repent. I feel like this has been coming up a lot, this idea of repentance. And the simple definition of repent is just to turn. Turn away. To turn back. For those of us who are not yet believers of Jesus Christ, to repent means to turn away from your life as you know it right now, that's lost in sin. Now, you may not be outwardly sinning and doing terrible things, but lost in sin in the sense that your heart that needs the salvation of Jesus Christ, all humanity is in sin, and all of us need the remedy, which is Christ Jesus alone, for the forgiveness of those sins. So repent from who you are, who you have been, and find the new life that is in Christ Jesus. You'll be a new creation, forgiven, not perfect in how you live, but perfect in the eyes of God because of the grace of Jesus that covers over you. So repent. Place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you are a believer of Jesus Christ, guess what? You still need to continue to repent because you may now be once and for all a child of God, a new creation, but every day we battle, don't we? We battle within our hearts to make the focus on Christ, to make our lives about Jesus and not about ourselves. And so repentance for Christians is to remember who we're living for. We turn away from what we were used to. Even though we're new creations in Christ, we still struggle with wanting to make things about ourselves. So we repent and say, no, God, I want to do it for your glory. I want to live for your glory. So we repent and turn to God. So everyone needs to repent. There's not one person in this world, on this earth, that does not need to repent. So I pray that each of us here, whether you are a believer or not, first, that if you're not a believer, I hope and pray that you'll repent so that you receive the forgiveness of Christ Jesus. I pray that you'll know Him, that you'll acknowledge Him and have a relationship with Him. Not just know a lot about Him, not just know His power in an external kind of knowledge way, but in your heart that you would know Him. And if you are a believer of Jesus, I pray that you would repent and know Him more deeply each day as you learn to take up your cross, follow Him, to choose Him over yourself each and every day. But Peter said to him, this is verse 20, "May your silver perish with you." My goodness, strong words. "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You've neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God." To me, that makes it pretty clear that this apostle of God, he sees into the heart of this Simon. He knows. He knows that his heart is not God's. He knows that he has not fully given himself in faith in Jesus, but what he wants is the power. What he wants is the glory for himself still. With, hey, let me give you some money, you give me this power so that I can give it to others as well. This is a strong response. Strong response. Verse 22. "Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." And Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." You see, it becomes more clear, right? Now, this is the thing that's really between you and the Lord. Because Simon Magus, on the outside, looks like a believer. He does. It said that he believed. It said he was baptized even along with the others who believed. So this is between him and God in a real sense through the apostle seeing into his heart, perceiving that his heart was not right with God. But it's not about the external. External, you can work on it all you want. You can look like the perfect, obedient Christian outwardly, but if your heart is not right with the Lord, you need to repent. If outwardly you do the right things, but in your heart, the intent is not lined up with who Christ is in your life because of the relationship that you have with Him, you need to repent. When you serve, what is your intent? God cares more about your heart than how able you are to do this or that in the church. How gifted you are. He cares more about your heart. What's your intent? Look at that, right? Verse 22, "Repent therefore of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you." You feel like you need to repent right now. I know I need to repent every day. God, make my life, my purpose, my intention, God, I pray that all of it would be geared towards You. I want to turn away from myself and turn to You each and every day. And I'm not saying don't take care of yourself. But I'm saying, what's the direction of your heart? What's your life's purpose? And this applies to everyone. From the least to the greatest, from the youngest to the oldest, whatever stage of life you're in, single, in a relationship, married, in school, career, retired, it does not matter. We must repent because our hearts are what matters to God. What is our intent? So Simon Magus, he had professed faith and even been baptized, but his heart was not right before God. And so Peter doesn't beat around the bush. Neither do I. Repent, he says. Turn away from those things. Turn to God. You see, Simon, he's still stuck in iniquity. What does that mean? He's still stuck spiritually. He's enslaved to his own sinful desires. He still desires his own glory more than the glory of God. His focus is off. His heart is not guarded. He has not given himself fully to the Lord. See, what I believe is all of us need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can make our hearts whole. But when he makes our hearts whole, he then wants us to give our lives fully to him. He doesn't make our hearts whole so that we can feel good about ourselves and say, I'm saved. And that's it. That's the end of the story. He makes us whole so that we can give our lives wholly to him and live our lives out in faith. And so that requires a continual repentance so that we don't get stuck spiritually. We don't go back to our old sins, to our old struggles, and to our old pride. And if there are some of us here who are still struggling with the sin of our past, that does not mean that you are not saved, but learn to repent and go to God and receive the power that he has. He doesn't want you to be enslaved to sin any longer. He sets you free from those things. Amen? So when you're struggling with those things, don't keep on struggling and saying, oh, well, I guess I'm not saved, or, oh, I guess I don't have the power of God. No, turn away from those things, repent, and then receive the power of Jesus Christ in your life. Amen? There's already victory. You know, maybe we don't talk about these kind of things enough. Well, we kind of made it okay now. Well, there's certain sins that I still struggle with, but grace of God. Now, there's truth to that. God covered over everything. Your past, present, your future sins, maybe even sins you don't even know that you commit, sins that you don't even realize you committed in your heart, even in your intent. But we live with a proactive faith. We turn to God, and he's always there. Now, he's always with us. But learn to repent. Receive the power of God. He will take away the chains. He'll take away the bond of iniquity. He already has. And I kind of shared this this thought. You know, it's like the chains of like the slavery to sin. And we're just we're in the bonds of iniquity. And Christ comes and he smashes those chains and they're off of us now. And it's like we go and we're like looking for those chains again. We're like putting it together and we're like trying to put it back on ourselves. It just sounds ridiculous, right? If you've been freed, why are you trying to chain yourself back up? We need to repent daily. Remember what Christ has done for us. Remember the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the power of God. Amen? So Simon here, he hears these words. He's like, oh, okay, shoot. And we don't know if he's like, oh man, I guess I can't have this power, so I got to figure out a way how I can still get this power. We don't know exactly the intention of his heart. But we see that he also misses something here, right? He doesn't say, yes, I'll go pray to the Lord. He doesn't say that. He says, can you pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me? See that? Is there music playing? Oh, sorry, okay. Sorry, I don't know if it's coming through the speakers. But this is the word of God. This is what his power means, knowing that you can go to him in repentance. It's learning how to receive what he's already given to us by grace through faith. We can go to him. We can pray to him directly. We don't have to, I mean, we can pray for one another, but I really believe that Simon's missing something here again. Why don't you pray for me? You see, Peter says, you pray and repent. And he says, no, you pray for me to the Lord that none of this will happen. You see, it's still about him. It's about preserving himself in some way. It's still self-focused. We must learn to go to God in repentance. We must learn to see his power, know his power, and know what that means for us as Christian believers. That we are new creations, that we continue to fight against sin and temptation, and we live for him. Verse 25 says this, now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. What an awesome thing. So we see kind of like little pockets of what God's doing through the church. And this particular interaction with Simon, this magician, I think it's really important. It tells us, again, the importance of giving ourselves fully to Jesus Christ. Our whole faith and trust must be in him, not what he can offer to us or what he can provide, but in him, in a relationship with him. So we have to guard our hearts against pride and the temptations that take us away from God, the habitual sins that take us away from God. And not all things that amaze us are worthy of our praise. Only God has the true power, the most important power, the power to save. And he offers that to us. Guess what? You and I, when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can be a part of this amazing power, God's work being done in this world. Will you be a part of it? Will you share the love of Jesus Christ with those around you? Will you be a part of many more people coming to faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Don't lose focus on what it's about, on who it's about. It's about Jesus. Guard your hearts against the things that take you away from him and learn to repent so that we can continue to remember the one who saved us, the power that healed us by his grace through faith in Jesus. So every day repent, because we're going to fail. We're going to fall short, and yet his grace will cover over us. Look at verse 25 one more time. Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Now, I think that's really cool. They've just come, they've prayed, they've been a part of the gospel work. And what is it? What do they do next? It's on to more preaching the gospel to many towns in Samaria. See, the work of God doesn't end. With our whole lives, we can show the power of God. With our whole lives, we can show the relationship that we have with him. So know God's power, but just know his power, and you might know his power because you know him in relationship as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Would you just remind us of who you are? Would you just help us to see that there's no other person, there's no other power but Jesus that deserves our praise, that deserves our worship. Help us, Lord, to guard our hearts. We let things into our hearts too easily, Lord. Things that take us away from you in subtle ways and sometimes just very direct ways when we sin. Help us to guard our hearts. Because we want so much to honor you and glorify you. We want so much to know your power. We want others to know your power. We want others to know who you are, the gift of salvation that comes by your power. So help us, Lord. And God, I pray that we would learn to repent. Every day we would learn to turn back to you. Not just every day, even every moment. The decisions that we make, God, that if we realize that we have failed to obey you in some way, whether it's grand or small, that we would repent and say, Lord, I know who I am in you. Turning away from my old self, who I used to be, and I'm embracing the power that's in this new creation that you've made me to be through Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the power of the gospel of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to know your power. And Lord, I pray that each person here would know your power, and that in their hearts that they would know you. And may we live in a way that would make your power known, who you are known to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.